was just checking to make sure that everything going all right. Y'all got 5 more minutes to gossip. I mean, talk to each other.
Good afternoon to all of you who weathered the fog and the rain. Tonight we're in our second Wednesday night of this 6-week series of Greatness is God's Gift to You. Tonight it's going to be on greatness comes through preparedness. But before Pastor gets into that, we're going to, let me go ahead and make some announcements. This coming Sunday night, Brother and Sister John Welch will be here in service for the weekend. And on the 9th, the Sparks will be here. And on the 16th, Brother and Sister Andrew Lucas will be here. And there's a prayer and fasting train out on the table that you can sign up for a special time of prayer and fasting during this time to be so that our thoughts and hearts are led in the direction that God wants them to be. And online, you can register for the Ladies Joy Conference. It's April the 3rd and 4th. And I know if you're able to make that you are really, really going to enjoy it. For prayer requests tonight, we need to remember Sister Stacy Bratcher. She has the flu. You know, that's why we didn't have our Ladies Fellowship on Tuesday night. Sister Stacy has the flu. And let's please remember my grandson, Corbin. He has COVID. And then there's a request for an Asher, Neil, and Matt and Amber Thomas have a very special request. You know what? Sister Lori, that's always here on Wednesday night, she broke both of her wrists in a fall. And she has been in a lot of pain. So let's please remember Sister Lori in our prayers. She's such a blessing, isn't she, on Wednesday night, her worship. She is such a delightful person. So we're going to remember her in prayer that God will touch her body. Sister Mildred Pratt is still in rehab at Brentwood. Brother Billy's here, but we're believing God is going to move in Brother Billy's life and touch him. There's a prayer request for a Steve Gordon and a Colby Hicks and a Charity Emery. So if you want to stand, we're going to take these people before the throne of God. Also, let's remember tonight our children that are in jams having their special little meeting. Let's pray that God will touch all of their little hearts and plant seeds that will continue to grow throughout their lifetime. Jesus, we thank you so much for everything you are, everything you have been, and all we know that you want to be in our lives. You do want to do things that far exceed what we can even imagine. Tonight we bring these people before the throne of God that need a healing touch in their bodies. You know all about every situation, and you are able to meet that need. The name of Jesus Christ, pray particularly tonight for healing in Sister Lori's body. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Stacy's life, in Corbin's life. Also, did y'all know today was Brother Arlton's 90th birthday? Isn't that wonderful? He's such a delightful person. Okay, Pastor's going to come and do this second night of series on Greatness is God's Gift to You.
God bless you as you're seated. I have to thank my wife for finding some of this material that I believe is going to truly expand our relationship with each other and with the social system. God only knows how desperate the social system is. And he uses the term, you are the light of the world. And understanding that brings us to a realization, be ye ready, for in an hour you think not. The Son of Man is coming. But we're not going to just hide in this wonderful salt shaker. You are the salt of the earth, and this is the little shaker. And we do the best we can. And so the thrill of pastoring and the thrill of teaching is that you know that you have people that are anxious to move out into the highways and the byways and to feel the church obligation to share the light and the beauty of walking with Jesus Christ. So greatness is a thrill. And again, I want to say with my wife how appreciative we are of the Rome family. Jim and Sharon Rome worked hard together, and she helped facilitate this material. Is that right, Sister Donna? And I know it is, but I just like to see that smile on her face. So this is lesson two, and greatness grows through proactive preparation. And that's why we're here tonight. That's why we come Sundays and Sunday nights and revivals and etc. So we prepare our work outside to get everything ready for ourselves in the field, and after that, to build a house. Now that's Proverbs 24 and 29. And so Abraham Lincoln made this comment, and I really like it. I will study and prepare myself, and then someday my chance will come. Isn't that cool? And that is so great. So we're prepared to live, give, and receive more with the Master of Life. And so I will go through this. As you know, I typically don't just read, but this material is so intensive and beautiful. I don't want to just try to imitate it with other verbs and adjectives. So I'm going to pretty much go through here and fill in just a few blanks. So this is out of Isaiah 40 and 3 through 5, if you want to make a notation at some other point. I'm not going through that, but he uses the term, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. And that's where you find some real wonderful oasis of knowledge. So number one, God has chosen you. And I like that idea. You are not alone. You are a part of the body, but you are an important part of the body. If there's anything the enemy tries to do, it is to reduce what you really are, a child of God, a powerhouse for the kingdom, and a light to those who sit in darkness. So God is up to something big. I wish you'd look at somebody and say, you're in a big place. Because when you're in the kingdom of God, it's big. It's going to canopy this whole thing and leave everybody that didn't want to be part of the kingdom, going to leave them here to whatever's next. And I think most of us know that. So God's plan for you is distinctly unique to you and fits perfectly into his eternal purpose. As I read that, I began to realize the many bones that you have in your body, which is the doctrinal structure of the church. And that is a fixed bone. But it is tied in, and it creates the immanence of God in plural ways. And so Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, has always been a special for me, and I was so glad Sister Sharon put it in her notes. I know, he said, the plans I have for you. I wish you'd point your finger at somebody. God's already got plans for your life. And part of that is strictly finding him in the word and finding his spirit, the power to implement the word through your voice, through your action, through your dress, and etc. So number one, do you believe God has a unique plan for your life? How do you feel about that? Your faith in God, self-creative abilities to move the future, move into the future, and you are chosen. Okay, number two is never be afraid to realize the wonderfulness. Just keep telling yourself, I look like success. When you look like Jesus, and the book says it clearly, we are made in his image. And Sister Sharon writes it so carefully and so clearly that as we are made in his image and we walk in his light, that we become one with the universe in the sense that the powers are phenomenal. So greatness continues to grow. Number three is share any hindrances that may keep you from moving into God's personal plans. The hindrances that the enemy, she refers to, is decisively trying to minimize your greatness. I wish you'd tell somebody again, you're great. That's right. And so as in this entire setting, people may not like it, that things that are easier but not as profitable. So greatness produces profitability. And probably even everybody here and others have yearned for that greatness that Sister Sharon is talking about. So B in this is greatness is always preceded by seasons of preparation. And that's why we often have fasting and prayer before service and prayer over our children, etc. So, because she's saying that greatness is preceded by those precious moments of preparation. Seasons of life come and go. Growing and preparing for the next season is always in season. She capitalized that in season, and I just like thought, man, that is like, yes, hit him again. Let the devil have every bit of this light because he can't stand light. And that's when you hit him with the light of the word and the life of your light, your light of your life. Prepare your work outside. Get everything ready for yourself in the field. And after that, build your house. And that is just simply meaning to this is the house of God, and building up your most holy faith is what that scripture I really enjoy in that setting that she's talking about. Building up your most holy faith. So God has saved us out of the world, called us into a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That's 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Note, there's several things that we use the term saved for, and so I want to insert this right now. We are saved from this world, and we are saved into this world. So as a people of light, we are going to help people understand that the word saved doesn't just mean up and down. It means I'm out of this carnal life into a spiritual life. I have come out of the darkness into the light of the world. I'm going to leave this world and I'm going to the New Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, there ought to be a little hand clap for Sister Sharon for coming up with so much of this stuff that helps us to realize the glory. So each one should test. How many of you have ever been through a trial? Maybe it'd be better if I said, how many of you have never been in a trial? Because the trials are your test about this greatness that she's talking about, overcoming. And so in this setting, we begin to realize without any question that we are in a congregation of angels and glory clouds. And so we come into an agreement or an alignment with God for all he has planned. So then he uses the term study to sense carefully your vision. What do you really see that you can be in Christ Jesus? And then your desire to manufacture or to produce in yourself all of the, first of all, the word, which is the gravitational part of the kingdom, and then the spirit that produces the ability to praise the Lord. Well, guess what happens when you praise? Angels start showing up. And she is putting together some rhythm and alignment so that we understand that we're not only just going to a house, we are going into a house where this greatness is going to filter into our hands, our heart, our homes, and everything else. Number two, let's take a look at Paul the Apostle in Acts. And she goes through quite a bit here, and I'm going to omit a little bit of it. Paul's father was a Pharisee, and for unknown reasons, Paul had the privilege of being a free Roman citizen from birth. Paul had the right genes, but that alone did not prepare him for a unique position or ministry. And Paul was surrounded by the finest religious and educational opportunities. He grew up in the city of Tarsus, which was considered to be home to one of the finest learning centers in the ancient world. Paul studied under the great Jewish scholar named Gamaliel. And a lot of people use it, Gamaliel. Paul's mind was sharp, and his education was part of his preparation. But there was much more to come. Oh, glory. I wish you'd look at somebody and tell them, say, you got more coming. Sister Sharon vouched for it. The Word vouches for it. And I'm putting it together with you. I'm here to tell you, we got more coming. The more the trials, the more the demons, when you read the book of Acts and you read the New Testament, you find out this greatness really is real. It is not something that is just a fake or a magician to act. Okay, I'm going to jump down. Paul got up when he opened his eyes after being smitten, and he did not eat or drink. He was completely dependent upon the hospitality and instruction of Ananias, a Christian. After he had fasted and prayed, his eyes were opened to more grandeur or greatness. And so this is being amplified through this. And now, in the midst of all that's going on in our world, and the midst of all the things that you are looking at and wishing it was better, I like what Vance Havner said, if wishes were horses, beggars could ride, and indeed a lot of wishful thinking has landed a lot of people in a bad ditch. So we can't just imagine, but we can imagine and not just wish. We can get an image in our mind that we are children of the Most High God. We have been buried into a future that is going to rise just like Jesus was risen out of a dead corpse situation. And we are going, hallelujah, I'm about to shout. Y'all got me going. There is something in the air. And so Paul's last words were, I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, hallelujah, but also to the people in Paris, Texas, and Lamar County that are walking in that grandeur of His greatness, His light, His holiness, His godliness, His righteousness, peace, and joy. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about going to a building. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to join with Him. We go to this building to exercise ourselves unto godliness and unto righteousness and unto peace and unto joy until the muscular mounts up to faith in God that produces the grandeur of you individually. I wish you'd look at your neighbor and tell them again, you're a great child of a Most High God, and there's none like them. There's nothing greater than being a child of the King of Kings. So let's move as quickly as we can. It's the Spirit of God who prepares, inspires, and anoints us for our God-given assignment. Our senses come to alive in the powers of the Word and the Spirit. The Holy Spirit sees things you don't see with a carnal eye. You sense it. Now, I've tried to press this outside of this particular lesson, but demons will always try to dissuade you from reproducing the Word, because he knows the Word produces greatness. He tries to reduce the work of the Spirit for the same reason. And that's why we stir up the gift of God, the Bible says. And we stir that up in praise. Hallelujah. Well, let's practice a minute. Praise your name. Praise you for your word. Praise you for the vision. Praise you for my brothers and sisters. Praise is comely, the Bible said. And that's why that we have singing and we have worship going on. Hallelujah. And I was just telling some of them, and because most of you know Brother John Proctor, and I'm telling you, watching where he came from, and I can see visibly the greatness of God brought him away from a setting, and I don't think he would feel embarrassed at all for me to tell you that it was not unusual for him to walk in his house and find his daddy beating his mother up in drunken stupor. Ladies and gentlemen, when I see what God has done with something that was having to go through all of that, I understand what Sister Sharon is saying. Great is our God, and great is the kingdom of God. And I am a part of the kingdom of God, and the glory of that kingdom lives in my life. Would you like to clap your hands to Jesus for a minute? I'm going to read exactly what she said because it is so great, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. You will succeed because of my spirit. Zechariah 4 and 6. You may want to read John 16 and 13. I'm not going to reread that one. But I want to tell you the things that she brought into perspective as a result of Zechariah's writing. And the Holy Spirit breathes life into your, now watch this, dreams and plans. The Holy Spirit makes you better at whatever you do. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom and guidance for what you are doing. The Spirit nurtures the gifts and talents that are already inside of you with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you when you face a new challenge. The Holy Spirit reveals God's plans in your mind that facilitate your life and its substance. The Holy Spirit will take you into places you have never been. Is there any of you that's ever been into a spiritual realm at your house or in the house of God or in the prayer meeting, and it was a place you'd not been in a long time, if ever? Would you like to lift your hands to God and say, thanks for showing new light in my life? Praise God. And so times of preparation are never wasted. In Isaiah, the 30th chapter, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Number one under her outline is God wants to reward you with the desires of your heart. It's his good pleasures, what the Word of God says. May God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. I wish you'd just say that to your neighbor. May God give you the desire of your heart. I want us to learn to tell our people around us, but tonight we're going to practice on each other. We're greater than we think we are. What you're going to say, that smile as you say, you're greater than you think you are, it's going to remind them tomorrow that somebody believes in me. Some of my brothers and my sisters and my church family, they believe in what I'm doing and how I'm living and the God I live for and the God I love to praise. And so Jesus understood the importance of preparation, and so he spent 30 years preparing for a public ministry. A lot of times we overlook that because he was born in a manger and all of the way that he came in. But for 30 years, he just was God in the flesh. And he began to manifest. Her realization here is so phenomenal. And that's in Luke 2 and 52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Sometimes it's real easy to understand the oneness of God is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And we get to thinking that the first week he was born, he could just grin and a miracle would happen. That's not what it was. He grew in grace and in knowledge. That's phenomenal to me. And she picks that kind of thing out and helps us to come together. And like that lesson my wife taught of hers last week, what a phenomenal thing. rhythm of life flowed through my life as she did that. And so greatness grows through proactive preparation. It's not the will to win, but the will to prepare to win that makes the difference. And that's old Coach Paul Bear Bryant. Some of you guys know who he was, a football giant. And he wasn't baseball, was he? I'd be embarrassed if I stand up here telling you he's football. Okay? 4 practical action steps. Somebody say action steps. In your season of preparation, 1 is prayer to advance this great realization that I am in Jesus Christ, a new creation. Thus, greatness lives in my voice, my hands, and etc. So can you imagine how your life is going to be transforming and concepts and realizations and etc. with this world? 5 prayer habits she defines here. Establish a definite prayer time. Establish a definite prayer place. Begin your morning talking with God. Create a prayer list. Pray God's word and make it personal. God, you promised if I would serve you, you would fill my life with power to overcome every adversary. Now that's great. And that is what Sister Sharon is talking about here. The second thing here, scripture is to become compassionate about learning, applying, and sharing God's word. And I encourage us to take her at the opportunity she's offered us here and quote part of the word. Don't try to just quote it verbatim. You know basically many scriptures. So don't get nervous about it. Even if you have to look it up in your concordance, prove the greatness that if you can't come up with it immediately, you have a great God that is willing to give the greater part of God to people that want to live great. And so I've just been really thrilled that my wife helped get this together for us. And I'm just believing that these sessions are going to literally, truly elevate the United Pentecostal Church. You will greatly benefit, she says, from studying God's word. If it's just one verse, one chapter a day, you will learn about people's successes and failures. The Bible is full of people and failures and victories. You will learn how to think and grow in wisdom. You will see others as God sees them. You will gain a better understanding of yourself. And let me stop right here lest I forget it. If you want some of these pages to be printed for you, you please feel free to sign up and say, look, I would like to have a few of those pages so I can relive what Sister Meyer has taught and Pastor has taught. And so you will see the possibilities that God sees in you. You will discover when and where God wants you. And you will experience significance and fulfillment because God is believing in you. So happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, according to the wise man Solomon. What do you find difficult about studying the Bible? Make some notes about it. What do you list some ideas that can make studying the Bible more meaningful and enjoyable? And one of those things that I have practiced, and that is to pray the scripture of promise. To pray scriptures of promise. And that helps me to put into myself that I have received Christ in that regard in my life. And so then I walk steadfastly and firmly in the faith. And so she, of course, Sister Sharon and Brother Jim were so close to us. They were just like brothers and sisters to us. And they just pastored 25 miles from us, and so we got together quite a bit. So I know the veracity and the determination of both of them. Her dad was the home missions director of the United Pentecostal Church for years. In Mark, the 9th chapter, in the 35th verse, he sat down and called 12. Now, he fed 5,000. He fed thousands. And yet he took advantage of 12. And then one of them goofed up. So don't get disappointed because you've got 30,000 people in this area and only one or two come. That's great. That's wonderful. And so Jesus was our greatest example. He served by washing the disciples' feet. How much time do I have? But I sure don't want to go over it. I don't have a clock. So I got 6 more minutes. I'm rushing. But I sure don't want to leave you stranded on half of being great. I think you got enough already. So he got up. Jesus took our, he served by washing the disciples' feet. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Unless I wash you and you have no part with me." Then Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." So just because you don't understand how great you are, you're going to practice the principles. Then one of these days you're going to square them shoulders and say, "Satan, get behind me. Get out of my house. Get out of my way. I'm not letting you infiltrate my family with your ways and wickedness and idolatry and all of this other stuff. I've got a king that sits upon the circle of the earth. I have found he as my king, and I am his servant, and he has given us greatness in this hour to rise up against the powers of hell and darkness." Would somebody like to clap your hands again? Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to mention it to us right now. If that is the way he lived, and he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden and burdened down with all this worry and fear that the enemy is trying to put on the church in this last hour." Ladies and gentlemen, that's when you rise up with the sword of the Lord and the power of the wine of the Spirit, and you say, "Satan, get out of my way. You're not stopping me. You're not slowing me down. I'm walking with the Messiah. I'm walking with the one who is the resurrection and the life, and I'm not turning around and running from any of your lies and your cheap stuff. I have got a king that's sitting up on the circle of the earth, and he's beckoning us. Come on, keep on going. You're my body. You're my people. You are at my namesake. Come on, church. Let's go through this world. Let's parade the blood. Let's parade the authority. Let's parade the victory. Let's parade it. We are in the kingdom of God." "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus said. 7, they replied, "and a few small fish." I can't help but believe, even in their grandeur, they sort of had to feel weird telling all that crowd, "We got 7 loaves and we got a few small fish." It's like somebody saying, "Our church is small. We don't have near the crowds everybody else has. We got to get greatness on our brain. I don't have to have a crowd," Jesus said. "I just need one man that's willing to duck 7 times in a muddy Jordan and find out he's got a future that he never dreamed was real. To find out that he had a man in place that was killing Christians and crucifying people. And Jesus made a real open show, the Bible uses that term, an open show of his power by calling the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, and he became an apostle, writing so many letters to us, because greatness lives in what we're dealing with tonight. And so what Sister Sharon is saying is, my personal prayer while preparing for new possibilities is the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. That's Psalms 19 and 14. I encourage you to write it down if you don't have it memorized, because that is where she is coming to a conclusion on this one part of this greatness we're talking about in this little duration of time. And I thank God, sweetheart, I thank you again for getting this all together so that we could promote some of the things that are so wonderful here. And so that's Psalms 19 and 14, and then Psalms 25 and 4. Show me your ways, Lord. I want to take my greatness to new dimensions. Teach me your paths. I want to find the people are out there that will find the greatness of your ways and the greatness of your strengths. Guide me in our truth and teach me, Lord, or practice with me and go with me. So you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. That's Psalms 25 and 4 through 5. Again, if you need some of these notes, please feel free. Call the office, make us a notation, and we will try to get you any information that would help. Would you like to stand? And let's thank God for Sister Sharon and thank God for giving her some helps so that we can promote this great truth. Father, we thank you tonight. We are so glad for your marvelous mercy. We could have been so far away from here, and yet tonight the river of living water flows, and the power structure of your word elevates us to new dimensions of strength and faith in Jesus' name. If it's right, I'd like for you to take the hand of a neighbor and pray for each other about the greatness of God and thank each other for being a part of this great kingdom.